It is Thursday, January 16th, 2014. This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Christina Thomas.
And I'm Kyle Kellums. Ozarks at Large is underwritten in part by the Walton Family Charitable Support Foundation.
Ahead on this edition of Ozarks, what's in a name? Like the Wampus Cats. We learn the stories behind Arkansas High School's mascots.
Plus, winter treats to warm on a final weekend of ice skating in Bentonville. And Mount Comfort Cemetery is set to get a marker commemorating its part in the Civil War.
But first, the Arkansas Department of Human Services says a significant number of young adults is enrolling in the state's private option. It allows people earning up to 138% of the federal poverty level to receive subsidized private health coverage using federal money devoted to Medicaid. Andy Allison, state Medicaid director, says it's no surprise younger people are qualifying for the private option since they tend to earn less.
It's also true, and I don't expect this to last, that the private option is 4/5, 80% of the Arkansas marketplace at this point. We think it'll be closer to half and half over time. But the net result of those two is that the private option is lowering the median age of that marketplace by, you know, as much as a decade or more.
Allison says the influx of private option enrollees, especially younger ones, should help keep premiums low for other marketplace enrollees.
Health costs are spread evenly across all participants. That's where those premiums come from. And private option participants are treated no differently in that calculation than other participants in the marketplace. And so if the age profile of the private option is favorable, which it is, then that'll have a spillover and very positive impact on premiums for non-private option participants.
About 64,000 people who qualify for Medicaid under the Affordable Care Act have signed up for the private option, with over half of those under the age of 40. Around 13,000 Arkansans who don't qualify for Medicaid have signed up through the federally run health insurance marketplace.
The General Counsel with the National Labor Relations Board issued a consolidated complaint yesterday against Walmart, charging unfair labor practices, alleging the world's largest retailer has violated the rights of employees across 14 states. The complaint involves more than five dozen workers, 19 of whom were fired allegedly as a result of their participation in protest demonstrations protected by the National Labor Relations Act. The board, headquartered in Washington, D.C., is an independent federal agency created to enforce that law. Spokesperson Gregory King.
According to the consolidated complaint, Walmart unlawfully threatened employees with reprisals if they engaged in strikes and protests.
More than 60 Walmart supervisors and one corporate officer are named in the complaint for having unlawfully spied, threatened, disciplined, and terminated workers for having engaged in legally protected strikes and protests in states including California, Colorado, and Texas. Attempts to settle the matter have failed. A hearing before an administrative law judge is pending. Walmart must respond to the complaint by January 28th. A spokesperson for the company says Walmart looks forward to discussing the merits of the case at that hearing.
You know, Walmart has a strict no retaliation policy, and the terminations that are included in this particular complaint were not made because of any participation or membership of a group. The folks that were included in this were terminated for other reasons, including attendance policy violations and other violations of policy. We believe that it's really important to serve our customers. And when there are associates who do not show up to work on days on end with a no-call, no-show, it's not only disruptive to our customers who are shopping in the stores, but also the other associates working in the store who have to cover their work.
If Walmart fails to prove its case before the National Labor Relations Board, it will have to cease and desist and provide restitution to affected workers, rehire terminated workers, and reimburse any for lost wages.
APAC Central Incorporated broke ground yesterday at Chaffee Crossing in Barling. According to the City Wire, the $1.5 million building will contain 12,200 square feet of office space and will be the first private development to be built on Fort Chaffee Redevelopment Authority property inside Barling city limits. The new office will house 25 jobs while supporting an additional 245 jobs in the Fort Smith area. APAC Central began in Oklahoma in 1911 and moved to Fort Smith in 1926. Under the name Arcola, the company was reportedly the first company to pour concrete at Fort Chaffee in 1941. Arcola sold to Old Castle Materials in 2006 and was renamed APAC Central in 2009.
Crystal Bridges Museum of American Art is adding a new piece to the collection in Bentonville, a Frank Lloyd Wright house. The museum announced yesterday it had purchased the Bachman Wilson House in Somerset County, New Jersey. Diane Carroll, media relations manager for the museum, says the previous owners wanted to sell the house to buyers willing to move the home from its current location.
The house is being encroached on by the Millstone River, and it has had significant flooding occurrences over the past decade or so, and those are increasing in frequency. So the owners determined that for the ultimate preservation of the home, it was going to be essential to move it.
J.B. Hunt is donating the transfer of the house to Northwest Arkansas, where it will be reassembled on the Crystal Bridges campus.
Fairly close to the museum's south lobby, where we will have the benefit of both trees and some woods surrounding the house, but also views to water with Crystal Spring. And those two elements figure prominently in its current New Jersey location. But the other element that we're able to avoid is the rising water that the house currently faces now.
Diane Carroll says the process is expected to take roughly 15 months. We'll have much more on the purchase on tomorrow's edition of Ozarks at Large. The search for the next dean of the Fulbright College of Arts and Sciences at the University of Arkansas has been narrowed to four potential candidates. Finalists include Cynthia Young, Associate Dean for the College of Sciences and Professor of Mathematics at the University of Central Florida, Pamela E. Jansma, the Dean of the College of Science at the University of Texas Arlington, John W. Richmond, a tenured professor and director of the Glencore School of Music at the University of Nebraska-Lincoln, and Todd G. Shields, who currently serves as dean of the UA Graduate School and International Education, professor of political science, and interim dean of Fulbright College of Arts and Sciences. All four candidates will make public presentations during the next few weeks to make their case for being the next dean of Fulbright College.
U of A Chancellor David Gerhart is at the White House today. He joins about 100 other college and university presidents, as well as leaders from nonprofits, foundations, state governments, and businesses for a day-long summit to discuss ways to make a college education more accessible to low-income and underrepresented students. First Lady Michelle Obama is leading the event, along with members of the National Economic Policy Council and the Federal Department of Education.
Mostly clear tonight, lows from 23 to 26. Sunshine tomorrow, highs from the upper 30s in northwest Arkansas to mid 40s for the Arkansas River Valley. And for Friday night, clear, lows in the mid 20s.
This is Ozarks at Large.